Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Sermon for today, the third Sunday after Easter. You now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and you will have joy. By the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr. During the last few days in Eastertide, there is a shift in focus of our gospel lessons, and on the next two great events in his life and on our calendar. They are his ascension into heaven, and then 10 days later, his sending of the Holy Ghost down to the church at Pentecost. This morning's gospel is taken from the long speech Jesus gives to his disciples during the Last Supper in the Gospel according to St. John. He is trying to prepare them for the fact that he is going to go away from them for a while, but then they are going to see him again. Until the Holy Ghost actually comes down, the disciples don't usually understand too much of what Jesus tells them. What he says is pretty much incomprehensible when they first hear it. But then later on, helped out by the Spirit, they remember what he told them, and it begins to make sense. Here he says that in a little while, they will not see him. Then again in a little while, they will see him again. He is referring to two sets of events. The first one is a little while between Monday, Thursday night and Good Friday afternoon, when they don't see him after he goes into his tomb. That is followed by the little while between Friday and Sunday, when they see him again when he rises from death. The second set refers to the little while between Easter and Ascension, the 40 days when he is with them before he goes back to heaven, and they don't see him anymore. And then we have a little while between the ascension and his coming again. A little while, which has lasted more than 2,000 years so far. It is also possible that Jesus is referring to the little while, the 10 days, between ascension and Pentecost. On Pentecost, the disciples will see him again, not in the flesh, but through the Spirit, in the Scriptures and the sacraments and the fellowship of the church. In any event, they don't know what he is talking about, and they ask each other, "What is he saying? We don't get it." He tells them, "Here's how it is going to happen. You will be sad, but the world will be glad. They will be happy that I am dead, but you will be sorry. They will be glad again when I leave this scene permanently, and you will cry about it. But one of the facts about God is that he never lets the people he loves suffer forever. There is always an end to it. Suffering ends in peace, sorrow always gets turned into joy. You have to be patient with God and hang in there with him, trusting that he is going to make it all come out right. And in fact, he always does." Jesus supports that contention with the image of a woman in labor. Labor hurts, but it never goes on forever. It always ends. And the end of labor is accompanied by such joy about a new baby that the woman who has labored forgets her pain in the midst of her new happiness. One might ask, what does he know? He was never pregnant, but he was the one who set the whole system up. Jesus' more general point here is that life in this world is like being in labor all the time. We have the sense within ourselves that this world is not our last destination. We are anxious to be somewhere else, heaven. And waiting for heaven to break into our lives is painful. The pain of it can be likened to the pains of a woman in labor. That is an idea that comes up quite frequently in the Old Testament prophets. His ultimate point is that when we are in heaven with him, we aren't going to be conscious, as we are now, of the pains and sufferings and general cussedness of our earthly existence. We're going to have bodies that can't get sick or get old. We're actually going to love everybody with whom we come into contact. An astounding thing to look forward to. And we're going to be consistently and consciously in God's presence. No more rising gas prices. No more maddening relatives and fellow workers. No more cell phones. No more needing to strive to make contact with God. Jesus tells the disciples to trust God, especially when they are in the midst of situations which are painful and unpleasant and uncomfortable. He says the same thing to us. We can put up with anything if we wait expectantly and confidently for his coming again, when he will raise us up from our graves and take us to heaven to be with him forever. Jesus' closing words in today's gospel acknowledge the fact that we suffer in this world, and they give us the guarantee of a far better future. They are enormously helpful words to hold on to. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more of the anguish or joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be it ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.